Eloise. Now what can I do with this old broken comb?
Hang it on the wall? My car keys just found a new home.
We've got hints from Eloise. We've got hints from Eloise.
Hey, backstory on that song, 20 seconds. Who did that?
Some P1 made it and emailed it to us.
It makes me so happy.
I wish I remembered his name.
I love that song.
I'm so sorry, but yes, that was some P1 magic from years ago from the orphanage. And yes, Hints is an orphanage staple. Many years ago, when your parents listened to The Ticket, I did a show on Saturdays from 10 to noon with Danny Bayless. And because we never had much of anything, we would kill a segment with Hints. Hints is a column to help you with your life. It is ripped and read off of the internet from the Lompoc Record. We begin with MCH via email. MCH writes, "Dear Eloise, after I finish a glass or container of milk, I pour a bit of water in the glass or container, swish the water around, and pour the liquid on my houseplants. It's a good source of calcium for them. Also, I stock my pantry like they stock grocery shelves. If I have multiples of an item, I put the oldest item in the front of the shelf and the newer items behind it in order of age."
So this person isn't asking for a hint from Eloise so much as giving hints to Eloise.
Yes. Okay, so there are basically four types of letters to Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
One is asking for a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Two is delivering a hint.
Mm-hmm.
Three is asking for an old recipe that she published years ago.
Oh, that sounds riveting.
And four is bitching. And we'll get to one of those here in a minute.
I swish around water in an empty milk container before I put it in the garbage because I'm trying to get the extra sour milk out of it so it doesn't, if the top pops off or something, it doesn't stink things up.
I do that too.
That's where I thought they were going. But I definitely, do plants even need calcium?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, who
helps their bones.
Who doesn't need calcium? Yeah.
Helps their bones.
Harold M. in Baton Rouge, Louisiana writes, "Dear Eloise, I've never seen an expiration date on those little single-serve condiment packets in fast food restaurants. How do we know they're safe to eat?" Eloise, she has to work. She has to respond to this one.
Nice.
"Good question, Harold. The box that the packets come in is stamped with an expiration date, but restaurants usually go through the packets so quickly that it is not an issue. A restaurant we spoke to goes through one case of ketchup packets every 3 days and has a similar turnaround for dipping sauces. Ask the manager if you are concerned."
How old is Eloise?
Well,
she's dead and it's her daughter now?
Yeah, it's her daughter.
Ask the manager if you're concerned. Can you imagine?
Right. "I'm concerned about the age of these ketchup packets. Can I see the box that they came in and verify the expiration date, please?"
That dude who's just holding it together from his drunk teenager that's just coming in to make burgers or whatever, and you're telling me you need to see the ketchup box, lady?
It's Harold. Harold's the one that's given the assistant manager at Chick-fil-A nightmares.
Frickin' Harold.
CCN in Odenton, Maryland writes, "Dear Eloise, when I'm cooking something white or beige, like rice or orzo, that needs to be sautéed to a light brown, I always keep out a few grains so I have a raw color to check it against for doneness."
Oh my God.
And Eloise adds a little bit of color to this, so to speak. "Readers, FYI, orzo is a variety of pasta. Hmm. It looks a little bit like rice."
Hmm. Thank you, Eloise.
I was asking myself that, so.
And this works with pasta, too. I don't understand. You know, when people say, "Oh, you throw it up against a wall," or there's some, you know, it's, you can see through it, or
everyone has their tricks.
Yeah, but why don't you just eat some?
Well, you don't want crunch pasta.
So you, but then you cook a little longer.
You bite into the piece of spaghetti to see if it's al dente.
Have a piece.
But isn't it fun to chuck the noodle up against the wall?
No, because then you got to go back and you got to clean the snail trail off the backsplash.
Right. I bet Heloise knows what's the best to get pasta milk off your wall.
Gross.
Because it is that starchy water.
Right. It's not just water.
No, yeah. It leaves a mess.
Spaghetti excrement.
Don't throw stuff against your backsplash. It's bad hygiene. Here is the bitching letter to Heloise that I was speaking of. Martin B. from Elwood City, Pennsylvania writes, "Dear Heloise, I wish people would remove their backpacks or move them to the front of their body while riding on a subway or train. It's rude and annoying to wear a backpack while on public transportation because it bumps into people." I don't disagree with Martin. You know, when I went to Paris, which I talk about on HTWOW at oldwaver.com, we went and saw The Cure at a festival, right? And to me, the biggest annoyance at the festival is festival backpack kid.
Aren't we past that?
Who has, you know, the giant Jansport with a week's worth of supplies.
A camelback.
And then he's, you know, trying to make his way through the crowd and just clocking everyone as he's turning and whipping it into your shoulder.
Can you go to ACL and bring backpack?
Yeah, you can bring the drawstring ones.
You can?
Yeah. I did it last
year.
Okay,
but that is, drawstring one is way smaller than what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, you can't bring the, like, going up Everest backpack for sure. But you can bring a
probably
nice little drawstring.
Rules are different in Europe.
In France.
In France. Maybe.
Possibly in France.
Possibly in France, it's less, because they have more problems than we do almost with that sort
of
thing.
That was a vague political statement. You just, they have more problems.
Well, you know,
they have more problems than we do.
I don't know
almost.
That it was political. They just have big
issues. You're going to have to be pretty ballsy to try and sneak anything in your backpack when there's dudes with AKs standing outside the gates.
Last year at ACL, somebody snuck in some smoke bombs and was chucking them out into the crowd.
It's hysterical!
It was hilarious. Now, there were maybe two or three people got trampled, but we're good.
You know.
God, that's hysterical. What a funny joke.
It's okay. That's funny. All right, a couple more. Esther from Mulvane, Kansas writes, "Dear Heloise, I've heard that a lot of the fish we buy might be farm-raised. What does that mean? And are there any differences from fish caught in our oceans?" So Heloise writes, "Esther, there are pros and cons to farm-raised versus wild. Farm-raised fish can be raised in abandoned factories or empty shopping centers." Okay. "They also can meet the growing demand for fish and therefore not contribute to overfishing, which has become a problem in our oceans." This is like a book report by Heloise.
Yeah.
"But farm-raised fish don't usually eat the same things as wild fish, and since fish are prized for their omega-3 fatty acids, that mainly comes from algae. Farm-raised fish have algae added to their food. As far as any other differences, farm-raised fish may have a little more fat in their diet, so they might be more tender in texture, while wild-caught fish might be leaner."
Heloise doesn't know any of this. This is cut and paste.
No, she went to Wikipedia.
Yes.
And
that's what these people should be doing instead of writing into the person that does it for them.
Yeah, I mean, Hints from Heloise was invented before the internet. It's a relic of days gone by, but some people still don't know how to use Google.
Also, we have to be at a point that we have created foods that we're eating thinking they're one thing, but they're really not that, right?
Like turkey bacon?
Like fish. There's somebody that's created a fish-like substance or something, and we're just eating it thinking we're eating fish.
Well, crab with a K. It's not really crab.
Right, but we know that that's not it. Plus, I don't think there's enough chickens in the world. I've been pretty solid
so
on
So you're
this
thinking,
stance.
Like, did you see Blade Runner 2049 or whatever it was?
Yeah, don't remember.
Where at the beginning, the replicant was working at a grub farm, like he was raising worms to eat as protein?
I don't think I remember that, but
so you're saying. So you're saying that there's a secret worm factory that they are...
I'm not saying worms. Don't put words in my mouth. They're creating something. Doesn't have to be worms.
Maybe so it's like Beyond Meat, but for fish?
Yeah. And also maybe chicken.
Isn't that tofu?
But we know that's tofu.
Good point.
What is tofu?
Peggy D. in Tuscaloosa, Alabama writes in our final hint from Heloise, "Dear Heloise, please caution your readers to always unplug an appliance such as a toaster or a coffee pot before cleaning it. My daughter was trying to remove a piece of toast in our toaster by using a knife. She got a shock. A mild one, but it might have been much worse." Mm-hmm. Heloise writes, "Peggy, yes. Always unplug those appliances before trying to work on them or clean them." And that, my friends, is Hints from Heloise, Cirque du Soleil edition. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's a reason the orphanage isn't on anymore.
No, there isn't. No good reason.
I hope everyone had time to text their grandmas and get them by the transistor radio for that segment.
You ever put metal in a microwave?
Yeah.
Not on purpose.
So you didn't do it by accident one time?
Well,
like, how did you find that out the hard way?
Well,
I did.
I think once I put a paper plate that had like foil print on it that I didn't know.
Right.
And so just start sparking and going crazy.
Is that the scariest thing?
And my mom one time when I was a kid, she put a wicker basket full of like dinner rolls in the microwave, but it wasn't real wicker. It was wire coated in plastic. So the plastic just started melting and catching on fire.
Yeah, I got by burger wrap. Like the inside was foil and the outside.
Oh, it was
like
paper on the outside.
Yeah. We got a little sparks going in there. Burger got hot though.
That is a shocking moment in your life that you never forget. Yeah.
My biggest kitchen accident ever. It didn't harm anyone, but it did create about an hour's worth of cleanup. This was when I was in college. And my parents, as a college housewarming gift, had gotten me a set of cookware. And this was back in the 90s, and for whatever reason, there was this line of cookware called Visions.
Oh, yeah. See through it.
Yeah, you can see through it, so you can see your food while it's cooking.
Yeah, that's how you know your pasta's done.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, tempered glass or whatever. And so I put it on the burner, and I turned the burner on, and I poured rice in there, and then I went over to the sink and poured a measuring cup's worth of water, turned and poured it into the Visions cookware, and it exploded. Shards of glass and grains of rice everywhere.
Did you get cut?
Shrapnel?
No. Yeah, it was shrapnel. I didn't get cut, but I did have to.
So you must have left it on the fire for a while by itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think I turned it on high heat, and it was, you know.
You left it there longer than you thought.
It was like, you know, maybe 30 seconds a minute, but it was long enough to make the Visions cookware so hot that when the cold water hit it, it just exploded.
God, that is psychotic.
I had a coffee pot do that to me one time. Like, it was right off of the hot burner, and I was going to make more coffee, and I poured water in it, and it just shattered right in front of me.
Did it go in the sink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see?
Hot and cold don't mix, bro. Got to be careful, bro.
Right into Heloise about that.
Okay.
What should you do instead of what you did?
Right. What should I do when pouring cold water into hot glass?
That explode. What did I do wrong?
At least I saved some of the rice to make sure that I knew what the color was before I cooked it.
Thank you for hints, Danny. Or Davey, or whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, Soccer Guy's next.